You got 9 at least. Is what
okay,
I
do
see.
We want to give everybody about another
minute to
come in?
Looks like everybody's here. Just not their pictures.
Okay. And we shall begin. This meeting will come to order. We will now have a moment of silence. Thank you. Please join me in the Pledge of Allegiance. I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all. And thank you, Mr. Sheldon, for providing the flag. Everybody was more in unison when it was appearing. Thank you. Madam Clerk, please call the roll.
Mr. Bell?
Here.
Mr. Carter?
Here.
Mr. Cartier?
Here.
Ms. Diller?
Here.
Ms. Durham?
Here.
Ms. Hartley Nagel?
Here.
Mr. Hollins?
Here.
Ms. Kilpatrick?
Here.
Mr. Sheldon?
Here.
Mr. Smiley?
Here.
Mr. Street?
Mr. Street?
Here.
Here.
Mr. Tackett?
Tackett?
He's muted again.
Mr. Tackett?
Do you see him? There he is.
I'm right here. Don't you see me?
Now you know.
Mr. Wood?
Here.
Madam President, the roll reveals 13 present.
Thank you. Next, is there a motion to correct or amend the minutes of May 26, 2020?
Motion to approve is provided.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? Hearing none, the minutes are approved. Moving on to announcements from members of council. Are there any announcements? I would like to, at this point, make a motion to move the 41 resolutions to the consent calendar. All in favor?
You need to have a second.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? Hearing none, the 41 resolutions, and we just went through them in the Finance Committee meeting. Thank you, Mr. Cartier.
Thank you. Madam President, I want an announcement.
Yes, Mr. Cartier.
Thank you. There will be a floor amendment to ordinances 20-064 and 20-065.
Thank you. Are there any other announcements from members of council? Seeing none, introduction of ordinances. All ordinances shall be considered at the next regular council meeting, except for those items that require board or commission recommendations. Madam Clerk, please read in the introduction of ordinances.
Ordinance 20066, amend the grants budget, appropriate $147,886 of federal funds from the United States Department of Justice Victims of Crime Act, VOCA, Victims Assistance Program, from the Delaware Criminal Justice Council, CJC, to the Criminal Justice Council, Newcastle County Police Department Expansion of Victim Services, fourth-year grant to be administered by the Department of Public Safety. Ordinance 20067, amend the grants budget, appropriate $34,402 from the State of Delaware Department of Justice Special Law Enforcement Assistance Fund SLEEP for the SLEEP Power Hawk NORAT grant to be administered by the Department of Public Safety. Ordinance 20068, amend the FY 2021 capital budget, appropriate up to $4,200 on the Recorder of Deeds Technology Fee account and up to $70,000 in the Newcastle County Technology Fee account within the Office of the Recorder of Deeds, totaling $74,200 for the Department of Administration Information Systems Expansion 2 Capital Project to support 3 technological initiatives. Ordinance 20069, to amend the pay plan for non-union unclassified service employees of County Council and revise the class specifications for Associate Auditor, Staff Auditor, and Senior Auditor. Ordinance 20070 to amend Newcastle County Code Chapter 40, also known as the Unified Development Code or UDC, Article 3, Use Regulations Regarding Outdoor Sales and Services. Ordinance 20071 to amend Newcastle County Code Chapter 6, Building Code Regarding Article 2, Definitions and Article 3, Administration, Newcastle County Code Chapter 40, also known as Unified Development Code or UDC, Regarding Article 7, Transferable Development Rights and Bonuses, Article 15, Historic Resources, and Article 33, Definitions Regarding Code Provisions Relating to Historic Resources.
Thank you. May I please have the reports from committees of council, beginning with the Public Works Committee?
Yes, Public Works met on June 2nd, and we did by Zoom, and we had a presentation of the parks reopening.
Thank you, Mr. Woods. Next, the Land Use Committee.
Yes, we met on June 2nd, and we had two ordinances, one that had to do with Bayberry and their land development plan change, and one that had to do with historic properties.
Thank you. Executive Committee, Mr. Hollins.
Yes, thank you. I was going to ask, did we meet? Yes, thank you very much. The Executive Committee meeting was held this afternoon. And we talked about the phasing to re-enter our offices downtown. And we had a discussion regarding the protest in America today.
Thank you. Public Safety Committee, Mr. Street.
We had a discussion on several grants from the emergency manager. I gave an overview of my participation on this council as both a member and as co-chair of public safety, and then all hell broke loose between me and the chief.
Thank you. Finance Committee, Mr. Cartier.
Thank you, Madam President. The Finance Committee met today a little late, but we went through initially 41 resolutions dealing with aid to the CARES Act, related aid to the fire companies, municipalities. We had resolutions related to pastor grants to nonprofits that were, it's based out of HUD money. We had various ordinances dealing with many topics related to senior home repair program, the summer youth employment program grant, and other useful ordinances that continue to do the business for the public in Newcastle County. And we extended the grants for our grant recipients. Deadlines were extended till September. Nothing under expensive revenue roundtable. Had comments from the county executive branch. Took several comments from the public and adjourned the meeting.
Thank you. Next, the consent calendar. Any member of the council or the public may remove an item from the consent calendar for further discussion by a simple request. If an item is not removed, it will not be subject to amendment, discussion, or other objection, and will be voted upon as a package. Consent calendar items are noted on the agendas as such and online. Is there anyone from council or the public who wishes to have an item removed at this time? Seeing none, is there a motion to approve the consent calendar?
So moved.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? Madam Clerk, please proceed with the reading of the consent calendar. And if you need to drink some water before you begin, now is the time.
Thank you. Resolution 20087, appointing Connie Roberts to the Newcastle County Board of Assessment Review. Resolution 20088, consenting to the appointment of Michael Shaw to the Fire and Ambulance Advisory Board. Resolution 20089, consenting to the reappointment of John Davis and his appointment as chairperson to the Newcastle County Historic Review Board. Resolution 20090, authorizing the execution of one purchase order contract for City of Delaware City for financial assistance for COVID-related expenditures for the Department of Administration in the amount of $62,300. Resolution 20091, authorizing the execution of one purchase order contract for City of Newcastle for financial assistance for COVID-related expenditures for the Department of Administration in the amount of $188,000. Resolution 20092, authorizing the execution of one purchase order contract for City of Newark for financial assistance for COVID-related expenditures for the Department of Administration in the amount of $1,150,000. Resolution 20098, authorizing the execution of one purchase order contract for City of Wilmington for financial assistance for COVID-related expenditures for the Department of Administration in the amount of $2,400,000. Resolution 20094, authorizing the execution of one purchase order contract for Town of Bellefonte for financial assistance for COVID-related expenditures for the Department of Administration in the amount of $40,700. Resolution 20095, authorizing the execution of one purchase order contract for Town of Ellesmere for financial assistance for COVID-related expenditures for the Department of Administration in the amount of $204,000. Resolution 20096, authorizing the execution of one purchase order contract for Town of Middletown for financial assistance for COVID-related expenditures for the Department of Administration in the amount of $770,000. Resolution 20097, authorizing the execution of one purchase order contract for Town of Newport for financial assistance for COVID-related expenditures for the Department of Administration in the amount of $35,100. Resolution 20098, authorizing the execution of one purchase order contract for Town of Odessa for financial assistance for COVID-related expenditures for the Department of Administration in the amount of $12,400. Resolution 20099, authorizing the execution of one purchase order contract for Town of Townsend for financial assistance for COVID-related expenditures for the Department of Administration in the amount of $87,700. Resolution 20100, authorizing the execution of one purchase order contract for Village of Arden for financial assistance for COVID-related expenditures for the Department of Administration in the amount of $15,100. Resolution 20101, authorizing the execution of one purchase order contract for Village of Arden Croft for a pass-through grant for COVID-related expenditures for the Department of Administration in the amount of $7,400. Resolution 20102, authorizing the execution of one purchase order contract for Village of Arden Town for financial assistance for COVID-related expenditures for the Department of Administration in the amount of $9,100. Resolution 20103, authorizing the execution of one purchase order contract for Aetna Hose Hook and Ladder Fire Company for financial assistance for COVID-related expenditures for the Department of Administration in the amount of $18,692. Resolution 20104, authorizing the execution of one purchase order contract for Belvedere Fire Company for financial assistance for COVID-related expenditures for the Department of Administration in the amount of $39,167. Resolution 20105, authorizing the execution of one purchase order contract for Brandywine 100 Fire Company for financial assistance for COVID-related expenditures for the Department of Administration in the amount of $40,309. Resolution 20106, authorizing the execution of one purchase order contract for Christiana Fire Company for financial assistance for COVID-related expenditures for the Department of Administration in the amount of $67,231. Resolution 20107, authorizing the execution of one purchase order contract for Claymont Fire Company for financial assistance for COVID-related expenditures for the Department of Administration in the amount of $53,770. Resolution 20108, authorizing the execution of one purchase order contract for Cranston Heights Fire Company for financial assistance for COVID-related expenditures for the Department of Administration in the amount of $39,167. Resolution 20109, authorizing the execution of one purchase order contract for Delaware City Fire Company for financial assistance for COVID-related expenditures for the Department of Administration in the amount of $45,688. Resolution 20110, authorizing the execution of one purchase order contract for Ellesmere Fire Company for financial assistance for COVID-related expenditures for the Department of Administration in the amount of $40,309. Resolution 20111, authorizing the execution of one purchase order contract for Five Points Fire Company for financial assistance for COVID-related expenditures for the Department of Administration in the amount of $40,309. Resolution 20112, authorizing the execution of one purchase order contract for Goodwill Fire Company for financial assistance for COVID-related expenditures to the Department of Administration in the amount of $45,688. Resolution 20113, authorizing the execution of one purchase order contract for Hockessin Fire Company for financial assistance for COVID-related expenditures for the Department of Administration in the amount of $40,309. Resolution 20114, authorizing the execution of one purchase order contract for Holloway Terrace Fire Company for financial assistance for COVID-related expenditures for the Department of Administration in the amount of $44,547. Resolution 20115, authorizing the execution of one purchase order contract for Mill Creek Fire Company for financial assistance for COVID-related expenditures for the Department of Administration in the amount of $53,770. Resolution 20116, authorizing the execution of one purchase order contract from Minkwoodale Fire Company for financial assistance for COVID-related expenditures for the Department of Administration in the amount of $39,167. Resolution 20117, authorizing the execution of one purchase order contract for Minkwoodale Fire Company for financial assistance for COVID-related expenditures for the Department of Administration in the amount of $44,547. Resolution 20118, authorizing the execution of one purchase order contract for Odessa Fire Company for financial assistance for COVID-related expenditures to the Department of Administration in the amount of $53,770. Resolution 20119, authorizing the execution of one purchase order contract for Port Penn Fire Company for financial assistance for COVID-related expenditures for the Department of Administration in the amount of $44,507. Resolution 20120, authorizing the execution of one purchase order contract for Taliba Fire Company for financial assistance for COVID-related expenditures to the Department of Administration in the amount of $40,309. Resolution 20121, authorizing the execution of one purchase order contract for Townsend Fire Company for financial assistance for COVID-related expenditures for the Department of Administration in the amount of $39,167. Resolution 20122, authorizing the execution of one purchase order contract for Volunteer Hose Fire Company of Middletown for financial assistance for COVID-related expenditures for the Department of Administration in the amount of $53,770. Resolution 20123, authorizing the execution of one purchase order contract for Wilmington Manor Fire Company for financial assistance for COVID-related expenditures for the Department of Administration in the amount of $53,770. Resolution 20124, authorizing the execution of one purchase order contract for City of Newark Planning and Development Department for a pass-through grant for COVID response activities for the Department of Community Services in the amount of $168,781.68. Resolution 20125, authorizing the execution of one purchase order contract for Community Legal Aid Society, Inc. for a pass-through grant for COVID response activities for the Department of Community Services in the amount of $100,000. Resolution 20126, authorizing the execution of one purchase order contract for Family Promise of Northern Newcastle County, Inc. for a pass-through grant for COVID response activities for the Department of Community Services in the amount of $120,000. Resolution 20127, authorizing the execution of one purchase order contract for Family Promise of Northern Newcastle County, Inc. for a pass-through grant for COVID response activities for the Department of Community Services in the amount of $248,531.76. Resolution 20128, authorizing the execution of one purchase order contract for Ministry of Caring for a pass-through grant for COVID response activities for the Department of Community Services in the amount of $100,000. Resolution 20129, authorizing the execution of one purchase order contract for Salvation Army for a pass-through grant for COVID response activities for the Department of Community Services in the amount of $50,000. Resolution 20130, authorizing the execution of one purchase order contract for YWCA Delaware Inc. for a pass-through grant for COVID response activities for the Department of Community Services in the amount of $50,000.
Thank you, Nellie. And I'm asking to be a co-sponsor on all the resolutions on the consent calendar today. Are there any objections? Hearing none, would any other council people also wish to co-sponsor? Seeing none, moving on. Madam Clerk, please call the roll on the consent calendar.
Mr. Bell?
Yes.
Mr. Carter?
Yes.
Mr. Cartier?
Yes.
Ms. Diller?
Yes.
Ms. Durham?
Yes.
Ms. Hartley-Nagel?
Yes.
Mr. Hollins?
Yes.
Ms. Kilpatrick?
Yes.
Mr. Sheldon?
Yes.
Mr. Smiley?
Yes.
Mr. Street?
Yes.
Mr. Tackett?
Yes.
Mr. Woods?
Yes.
Madam President, the roll reveals 13 yes.
Thank you. The consent calendar has been passed. Mr. Smiley?
Yeah, we're done with that, right?
Correct.
But now it's okay. I just want to make a point of clarification while it's fresh. What just took place with all of these being moved to the consent calendar, just so we're clear going forward, that was allowed to take place because Councilman Cartier did not object. Council does not have the right to take away a sponsoring council member's right to have the legislation where they want it. So I just want to be clear. So if it comes up again, this can't be raised that, well, we did it before. If Councilman Cartier had wanted them individually or done them whatever way, and not, because when we put them on the consent calendar, we take away the public's right to speak. So I think it was the right thing to do. It worked out well. I just don't want to hear in the future we did it once before, so we have a right to do it. That's all. Just wanted to clear it up.
Thank you for clarifying that, Mr. Smiley.
Thank you for that, George.
The clerk of council and I discussed it earlier today, and with 41, we would have probably been here a couple hours. And
which
I
is,
didn't think.
Which is why.
Just going for it, which I think everybody was in agreement with that.
Well, it was raised. It was raised a week ago, so it was nothing new. So that's fine. I just want to make sure going forward everybody understands. Council doesn't have a right to take away a sponsoring council member's right.
And certainly Councilman Cartier would have spoken up for himself, I'm sure. Correct, Councilman?
Well, I'm making sure it's not tried on me in the future, okay?
Okay.
We have a short memory.
Next, consideration of resolutions removed from the consent calendar and other resolutions, including ordinances. Anyone wishing to speak on the subject of the resolutions or ordinances should raise their hand, and Ms. Finnegan will call upon you. After the resolution or ordinance you wish to speak on is introduced, and I open the floor to the public, you'll state your name for the record and limit your comments to 3 minutes. And we begin with 020052. Mr. Bell.
Thank you, Madam President. I move that Ordinance 20052 be read by title only and placed before council for its consideration and adoption.
Second.
Mr. Bell?
I need to read it in.
Oh.
Ordinance 20052 to provide for the installation of Granville street lights in the Summit Circle subdivision located in Pencader 100 for a light tax base on the cost of street lights.
Thank you, Mr. Bell.
Thank you. Now you ready? Are you ready? That's for title.
Does anyone from council have any questions or comments? Seeing none, I'll open up the floor to the public for comment. Ms. Finnegan, is there anyone in the queue?
Madam President, there's no public comment.
Thank you. I'll close the floor to the public. Madam Clerk, please call the roll on 020052.
Bell.
Yes.
Mr. Carter.
Yes.
Mr. Cartier.
Yes.
Ms. Diller.
Yes.
Ms. Durham.
Yes.
Ms. Hartley-Nagel.
Yes.
Mr. Hollins.
Yes.
Ms. Kilpatrick.
Yes.
Mr. Sheldon.
Yes.
Mr. Smiley.
Yes.
Mr. Street.
Yes.
Mr. Tackett.
Yes.
Mr. Woods.
Yes.
Madam President, the roll reveals 13 yes.
Thank you. 020052 is passed. Next, 020053. Mr. Hollins?
I'll yield to Councilwoman Diller on both of those.
Yes.
Ms. Diller?
Yes, I move that ordinance number 020053 be read by title only and placed before council for its consideration and adoption.
Second.
Ordinance 20053, amend the grants budget for FY2020, appropriate additional federal funds of $326,455.24 from the U.S. Department of Housing and Urban Development to the FY2015 Home Investment Partnership Program, HOME, which is administered by the Department of Community Services.
Thank you. Ms. Diller?
Per title.
Does anyone from council have any questions or comments? Seeing none, I'll open up the floor to the public for comment. Ms. Finnegan, is there anyone in the queue?
There is no public comment.
Thank you. I'll close the floor to the public. Madam Clerk, please call the roll on 020053.
Bell?
Yes.
Mr. Carter?
Yes.
Mr. Cartier?
Yes.
Ms. Diller?
Yes.
Ms. Durham?
Yes.
Ms. Hartley-Nagel?
Yes.
Mr. Hollins?
Yes.
Ms. Kilpatrick?
Yes.
Yes.
Mr. Sheldon?
Sheldon? Yes.
Mr. Smiley?
Yes.
Mr. Street?
Yes.
Mr. Tackett?
Yes.
Mr. Woods?
Yes.
Madam President, the roll reveals 13 yes.
Thank you. 020053 is passed. Next, 020054, Ms. Diller.
Yes. I move that ordinance number 20054 be read by title only and placed before council for its consideration and adoption.
Second.
Ordinance 20054, amend the grants budget, appropriate $290,288 from the U.S. Department of Housing and Urban Development to a Special Housing Choice Voucher CARES Act program designated as Section 8 HCVCV to be administered by the Department of Community Services to respond to the coronavirus pandemic.
Ms. Diller?
Yes. As Ms. Casey pointed out, this is extra funding going to assist with homelessness during the pandemic.
Thank you. Does anyone from council have any questions or comments? Seeing none, I'll open up the floor to the public for comment. Ms. Finnegan, is there anyone who wishes to speak that's in the queue?
Madam President, there's no public comment.
Thank you. I'll close the floor to the public. Madam Clerk, please call the roll on 020054.
Mr. Bell?
Yes.
Mr. Carter?
Yes.
Mr. Cartier?
Yes.
Ms. Diller?
Yes.
Ms. Durham?
Yes.
Ms. Hartley-Nagel?
Yes.
Mr. Hollins?
Yes.
Ms. Kilpatrick?
Yes.
Mr. Sheldon?
Yes.
Mr. Smiley?
Yes.
Mr. Street?
Yes.
Mr. Tackett?
Yes.
Mr. Woods?
Yes.
Madam President, the roll reveals 13 yes.
Thank you. 020054 is passed. Next, 020055, Mr. Bell.
Thank you, Madam President. I move that ordinance 20-055 be read by title only and placed before council for its consideration and adoption.
Second.
Ordinance 20055, amend the grants budget, appropriate $278,000 in federal funding from the Department of Homeland Security Federal Emergency Management Agency, FEMA, $452,380 in local funding from Newcastle County, and $75,000 in private funding from the Public Service Enterprise Group, PSEG Nuclear, to fund the operations of the Newcastle County Office of Emergency Management, OEM, for FY 2021.
Thank you. Does anyone from council have any questions or comments? Seeing none, I'll open up the floor to the public for comment. Ms. Finnegan, is there anyone who wishes to speak that's in the queue?
Madam President, there's no public comment.
Thank you. I'll close the floor to the public. Madam Clerk, please call the roll on 020055.
Mr. Bell?
Yes.
Mr. Carter?
Yes.
Mr. Cartier?
Yes.
Ms. Diller?
Yes.
Ms. Durham?
Yes.
Ms. Hartley-Nagel?
Yes.
Mr. Hollins?
Yes.
Ms. Kilpatrick?
Yes.
Mr. Sheldon?
Yes.
Mr. Smiley?
Yes.
Mr. Street?
Yes.
Mr. Tackett?
Yes.
Mr. Woods?
Yes.
Madam President, the roll reveals 13 yes.
Thank you. 020055 is passed. Next, 020056, Mr. Bell.
Thank you, Madam President. I move ordinance 20-056 be read by title only and placed before council for its consideration and adoption.
Second.
Ordinance 20056, amend the annual FY 2021 operating budget, reduce the FY 2021 appropriation to the Department of Public Safety, Office of Emergency Management, by $452,380 to provide the annual county match to the Office of Emergency Management grant for FY 2021.
Mr. Bell.
Thank you, Madam President. This is the supporting ordinance to 055 and move that it be brought before council as per title.
Thank you. Does anyone from council have any questions or comments? Seeing none, I'll open the floor to the public for comment. Ms. Finnegan, is there anyone in the queue that wishes to speak?
There's no public comment.
Thank you. I'll close the floor to the public. Madam Clerk, please call the roll on 020056.
Mr. Bell?
Yes.
Mr. Carter?
Yes.
Mr. Cartier?
Yes.
Ms. Diller?
Yes.
Ms. Durham?
Yes.
Ms. Hartley Nagel?
Yes.
Mr. Hollins?
Yes.
Ms. Kilpatrick?
Yes.
Mr. Sheldon?
Yes.
Mr. Smiley?
Yes.
Mr. Street?
Yes.
Hackett?
Yes.
Mr. Woods?
Yes.
Madam President, the roll reveals 13 yes.
Thank you. 020056 is passed. Next, 020057. Mr. Bell.
Thank you, Madam President. If you would, Ordinance 20-057 and 058, Councilman Street will present.
Okay, Mr. Street.
Yes, Madam President. I'd like to have Ordinance number 20-057 read by title only and placed before Council for its consideration and adoption.
Second.
Second.
Ordinance 20057, amend the grants budget, appropriate an additional $70,000 in federal funding from the Department of Homeland Security Federal Emergency Management Agency, FEMA, to the Emergency Management FY 2020 grant.
Mr. Street.
Per title.
Does anyone from Council have any questions or comments? Seeing none, I'll open up the floor to the public for comment. Ms. Finnegan, is there anyone in the queue that wishes to speak?
Madam President, there's no public comment.
Thank you. I'll close the floor to the public. Madam Clerk, please call the roll on 020057.
Mr. Bell?
Yes.
Mr. Carter?
Yes.
Mr. Cartier?
Yes.
Ms. Diller?
Yes.
Ms. Durham?
Yes.
Ms. Hartley Nagel?
Yes.
Mr. Hollins?
Yes.
Ms. Kilpatrick?
Yes.
Mr. Sheldon?
Yes.
Mr. Smiley?
Yes.
Mr. Street?
Yes.
Mr. Tackett?
Yes.
Mr. Woods?
Yes.
Madam President, the roll reveals 13 yes.
Thank you. 020057 is passed. Next, 020058. Mr. Street.
Yes, Madam President. I'd like to have ordinance number 20-058 read by title only and placed before Council for its consideration and adoption.
Second.
Second.
Ordinance 20058, amend the grants budget, appropriate $75,000 in federal funding from the Department of Homeland Security Federal Emergency Management Agency, FEMA, to the federal EMPGS FY20 COVID-19 supplement grant.
Mr. Street?
Titled.
Does anyone from Council have any questions or comments? Seeing none, I'll open the floor to the public for comment. Ms. Finnegan, is there anyone in the queue that wishes to speak?
Madam President, there's no public comment.
Thank you. I'll close the floor to the public. Madam Clerk, please call the roll on 020058.
Mr. Bell?
Yes.
Mr. Carter?
Yes.
Mr. Cartier?
Yes.
Ms. Diller?
Yes.
Ms. Durham?
Yes.
Ms. Hartley Nagel?
Yes.
Mr. Hollins?
Yes.
Ms. Kilpatrick?
Yes.
Mr. Sheldon?
Yes.
Mr. Smiley?
Yes.
Mr. Street?
Yes.
Mr. Tackett?
Yes.
Mr. Woods?
Yes.
Madam President, the roll reveals 13 yes.
Thank you. 020058 is passed. Next, 020059. And Mr. Smiley.
Mr. Cartier.
Thank you, Madam President. I'd like Ordinance 20-059. Read by title only and placed before Council for its consideration.
Second.
Ordinance 20059, amend the FY 2020 approved sewer fund operating budget, appropriate $30,000 to the Department of Administration and Office of Finance contractual services budget line item.
Mr. Cartier?
We received testimony from the CFO of Newcastle County that this contractual services budget line will be used for outside bill collection agency to catch up on our delinquent sewer accounts. And the report is that they have had enormous success cleaning up back to sewer fees, and this is a successful program, and they need some more money for its continuation.
Thank you. Is there any questions from members of council? Seeing none, I'll open up the floor to the public for comment. Ms. Finnegan, is there anyone in the queue that wishes to speak?
Madam President, there's no public comment.
Thank you. I'll close the floor to the public. Madam Clerk, please call the roll on 020-059.
Mr. Bell?
Yes.
Mr. Carter?
Yes.
Mr. Carnier?
Yes.
Ms. Diller?
Yes.
Ms. Durham?
Yes.
Ms. Hartley Nagel?
Yes.
Mr. Hollins?
Yes.
Ms. Kilpatrick?
Yes.
Mr. Sheldon?
Yes.
Mr. Smiley?
Yes.
Mr. Street?
No.
Mr. Tackett?
Yes.
Mr. Woods?
Yes.
Madam President, the roll call reveals 12 yes, 1 no.
Thank you. 020-059 is passed. Next, substitute number 1 to 020-060. Mr. Tackett.
Thank you, Madam President. And I move that the ordinance be read by title only and placed before council for consideration and adoption. And is this substitute number 1? Record council, no. Okay, so I move that substitute 1 to the ordinance be read by title only and placed before council for consideration and adoption.
Second.
Substitute number 1 to ordinance 20060, amend the grants budget, appropriate funding from Newcastle County Council, the Senior Home Repair Program grant, which is administered by the Department of Community Services.
Thank you. Mr. Tackett?
Thank you, Madam President. This ordinance we discussed in committee a little bit earlier. I'd also like to give a shout out and thank you to Councilman Hylands, Councilwoman Kilpatrick, Diller, Bell, Woods, and Cartier for joining me in this ordinance as co-sponsors. This will allocate, $20,241. And today, clearly, the seniors of Newcastle County are reaping the benefits of the concerned council members who have joined in this ordinance, and it's going to allow them to get essential home repairs done, which will allow them to remain and age in their homes.
Thank you, and I also wish to co-sponsor, Mr. Tackett.
Oh, thank you.
May I?
Were you absolutely? Are you adding any money to it, or?
We'll add some money to it.
Sponsorship. No. I mean, I'm just asking
because
I mean,
that was a good one.
It was. Everybody that co-sponsors putting in money. I don't know. That's the only reason I asked.
I'll co-sponsor and add some money to it as well.
Oh. Okay.
Well, it's the end of.
That's fine.
It's the end. Yeah. Yes, I know. Yeah.
Right. Okay.
That's fine.
Yep.
Does anyone from council have any questions or comments? Seeing none, I'll open the floor to the public for comment. Ms. Finnegan, and hold on. Yes, Ms. Kilpatrick.
Can I just have a clarification? So if she's going to add money to it, do we need to change the dollar amount?
Yeah, we're going to have to ask the clerk of council to hold it open until she.
She can do that, yeah.
Yeah, she can hold it open, I guess, right? Clerk of council until council president shares the dollar amount.
What'd she have left?
Yeah.
I mean, that's
what I have to find out.
I'll have to look it up.
Yeah.
Hey, I don't know. Can you amend the substitute afterwards?
No.
We can choose not to. I mean, if it's going to be difficult.
Okay. Clerk of Council shaking her head no. So we probably should just run it the way we have it.
Let's run it the way we have it then.
Okay.
Okay. So does anyone from council have any questions or comments besides Ms. Kilpatrick? Seeing none, I'll open up the floor to the public for comment. Ms. Finnegan, is there any members of the public that wishes to speak?
Madam President, there's no public comment.
Thank you. But I'll close the floor to the public. Madam Clerk, please call the roll on substitute number one to 020-060.
Mr. Bell?
Yes.
Mr. Carter?
Yes.
Mr. Carnier?
Yes.
Ms. Diller?
Yes.
Ms. Durham?
Yes.
Ms. Hartley-Nagel?
Yes.
Mr. Hollins?
Yes.
Ms. Kilpatrick?
Yes.
Mr. Sheldon?
Yes.
Mr. Smiley?
Yes.
Mr. Street?
Yes.
Mr. Tackett?
Yes.
Mr. Woods?
Yes.
Madam President, the roll call reveals 13 yes.
Thank you. Substitute to number 1 to 020060 is passed. Next, substitute to number 1 to 020061. And that is Mr. Street.
Yes, Madam President, I'd like to have substitute 1 to ordinance number 20-061 be read by title only and placed before council for its consideration and adoption.
Second.
Substitute number 1 to ordinance 20061, amend the grants budget, appropriate funding from the Newcastle County Council to the 2020 Newcastle County Summer Youth Employment Grant, which is administered by the Department of Community Services.
For title.
Thank you, Mr. Street. Does anyone from council have any questions or comments? Seeing none, I'll open the floor to the public for comment. Ms. Finnegan, is there anyone in the queue that wishes to speak?
Madam President, there's no public comment.
I'll close the floor to the public. Madam Clerk, please call the roll on substitute number 1 to 020061.
Mr. Bell?
Yes.
Mr. Carter?
Yes.
Mr. Cartier?
Yes.
Ms. Diller?
Yes.
Ms. Durham?
Yes.
Ms. Hartley-Nagel?
Yes.
Mr. Hollins?
Yes.
Ms. Kilpatrick?
Yes.
Mr. Sheldon?
Yes.
Mr. Smiley?
Yes.
Mr. Street?
Yes.
Mr. Tackett?
Yes.
Mr. Woods?
Yes.
Madam President, the roll reveals 13 yes.
Thank you. Substitute number 1 to 020061 is passed. Next, substitute number 1 to 020062, and Mr. Tackett.
Thank you, Madam Chair. This is a point of clarification, Madam Clerk. This is the ordinance with Councilman Street on the summer youth?
Correct.
Correct. So we'll be joining Councilman Street with this one for the ordinance. Madam Clerk, please read the ordinance by title only and present to Council for consideration and adoption.
Second.
Substitute number 1 to ordinance 20062, amend the FY 2020 approved operating budget, reduce the grants and fixed charges budget line item of County Council to provide funding for Newcastle County grants.
Mr. Tackett.
Thank you, Madam President. Per title.
Thank you. Does anyone from council have any questions or comments? Seeing none, I'll open up the floor to the public for comment. Ms. Finnegan, is there anyone wishing to speak in the queue?
Madam President, there's no public comment.
Thank you. I'll close the floor to the public. Madam Clerk, please call the roll on substitute number 1 to 020062.
Mr. Bell?
Yes.
Mr. Carter?
Yes.
Mr. Cartier?
Yes.
Ms. Diller?
Yes.
Ms. Durham?
Yes.
Ms. Hartley-Nagel?
Yes.
Mr. Hollins?
Yes.
Ms. Kilpatrick?
Yes.
Mr. Sheldon?
Yes.
Mr. Smiley?
Yes.
Mr. Street?
Yes.
Mr. Tackett?
Yes.
Mr. Woods?
Yes.
Madam President, the roll will be 13 yes.
Thank you. Substitute number 1 to 020062 is passed. Next is 020063. Ms. Durham?
Thank you, Madam President. I request that 20063 be read by title only and placed before Council for its consideration and adoption.
Second.
Ordinance 20063 to amend Newcastle County Code Chapter 7, Property Maintenance Code, Section 7.01.002, Amendments to the International Property Maintenance Code, Section PM102.6.1, Maintenance of Property and Historic Overlay Zoning Districts, Demolition by Neglect Regarding Historic Properties and Inspection Thereof.
Thank you. Does anyone from Council have any questions or comments? Seeing none, Ms. Durham?
Yeah, I would like to make a few comments, if you don't mind. I would like to report that after this, what this ordinance was discussed last week, obviously, in the Land Use Committee. And following that, the Historic Review Board did discuss it as well and endorse it unanimously, if I'm not mistaken. I also just wanted to clarify that, because it's been stated or misstated that this ordinance would put additional reporting requirements on the Land Use Department, and that certainly was not the intent, other than just copying County Council on the already existing reporting requirements to the HRB. So it would just be one extra email, really. So the all the strikeouts and underlining is just sort of grammar changes for the most part regarding that. So again, just this is following best practices for conservation and preservation easements. I know, as someone that promotes H zoning wherever I can and is contemplating age zoning on my own property, it's a public stewardship issue. And when I place my property in age zoning, I want that extra watchful eye to make sure that, you know, I know someone, a professional land use body, is watching over it every year and keeping an eye on it when someone else owns the property. So, It's for the public's benefit for that, and not necessarily targeting current owners, but future owners, just to know that we keep an eye on these properties. And in 2017 and 2018, 100% of the properties were inspected, as was, I think, the original goal of the demolition by neglect ordinance. So it was only in 2019 that only a handful were inspected. So, apparently the resources are there to do them, and there's only, at this point, only 70 properties out of, I think Land Use reported that last year they did 65,000 inspections, if I'm not mistaken. So happy to take any other questions, but definitely wanted everyone to know that the HRB did endorse the ordinance.
Thank you. Are there any questions from members of council? Seeing none, Mr. Cartier.
I want to commend Councilwoman Durham for taking on this and trying to build the inspection regime that I originally developed for historically zoned properties. However, you know, land use really objected because they said that the system isn't broken. They are inspecting properties. We did have reporting, as Councilwoman Durham reported on, two previous years, 17, 18, 19. I guess they got to get on it. But, you know, according to Rich Hall, the system's not broken. I want to try to honor their serious intent and their professionalism. So I will not be voting yes for this tonight.
Mr. Kilpatrick?
Yes. I've looked at this. I've actually made a chart of what this changes, and one of the things, obviously, as Ms. Durham said, it's just a lot of rewriting of what's already there. I think the last time we talked about this, we talked about annual reporting, and we know that boards and commissions have to do annual reporting on what they do anyway. If that's part that is not being taken care of, then I feel that we need to enforce that rather than go through and change a whole section of code by basically just rewriting some of the language. And this takes all the discretion away from the department. If they've had, what, five or six over the years that are not in compliance, and I think all but one of those has been a government building, I don't know that I'm in favor of just rewriting in order to rewrite. And I don't think that I'm ever in favor of having complete discretion taken away. The code as it is now says that we could inspect twice annually or as determined by the code official. If the code officials have inspected for 2, 3, 4 years and they find that there's nothing wrong and we have a lot of other code issues that are coming up, I'm not sure that we should be taking all of that discretion away and saying, oh, but you have to go out there, because in my district, there's enough code issues with bamboo alone, if nothing else, that I feel like if they're short in code enforcement at some point and they're mandated to do this, that we in our individual districts are going to eventually suffer from something.
Thank you. Mr. Carter?
Yeah, I see this as a forward-looking, long-term solution to avoid problems in the future. I think the resources to do this are very minimal. I do believe that any property that has met the criteria to be zoned, H-zoned, should be given some additional attention. I commend Councilwoman Durham for bringing this forward. There are, I think, a lot of problems with our current historic codes. And I think this is a good start to improve them and to take a long-term vision. You know, I think we need to change something here, and I think this is a good start. So I will be voting in favor of it.
Thank you. Are there any other comments from members of council? Mr. Hollins.
Thank you, Madam President. A couple of questions. What is the fiscal impact of this legislation?
Well, in theory, there's no fiscal impact because it's already being done.
Thank you. I missed the discussion last week. Did I understand Councilman Cartier to say he was withdrawing from a co-sponsor? I thought he was a co-sponsor.
I don't see him down as a co-sponsor. If he is,
not on this piece. Not on this historical piece. No.
I'm sorry.
He says not on this piece. He is not a co-sponsor.
Okay. I'm sorry. Thank you.
Thank you, Ms. Durham.
Sorry,
I saw you. Your square light up, rectangle. No. Okay. Is there any other comments, Councilwoman Kilpatrick?
Are we going to ask land use to comment on it, or are we satisfied with what they had to say last time?
I'll leave that up to Ms. Durham. Would you like land use to comment, Ms. Durham?
I don't feel the need for them to comment, so it's anyone else, I guess, is welcome to ask them to, but they commented at the HRB. The HRB unanimously supported the bill because they see the need for it. They've seen properties slip through the cracks, and they see it as a step in the right direction to help protect the resources that come through across their table.
Can I ask, what properties have you seen slip through the cracks?
Not necessarily H-zone properties, but historic properties in general that are also under their purview. So obviously this is just a small segment of that population, but it's the argument that the building maintenance code is going to protect historic properties is just not accurate, as we've seen from properties like the Houston House, which is about to be demolished. It was sitting there deteriorating for years and with code inspectors driving by every day. And so a complaint driven process such as that is allowing properties to slip through the cracks. Whereas people that go out of their way to place H zoning on their properties deserve, best practices. They deserve, extra care in public stewardship in keeping a watchful eye on these properties. That's why they place them under H zoning. For perpetuities, to make sure that they're maintained by future owners. And, it's just a piece in the toolbox that that I think, there's a gap there that needs to be covered.
Thank you, Ms. Kilpatrick, and then Mr. Carter.
Thank you. These inspections are on properties that people volunteered to put them under the H-zoned district. Anything that's falling through the cracks is not within the H zone here, then that's all this covers is the H zone. It does not cover the rest of the historic properties out there. So it didn't cover the Houston House. That wasn't a volunteer H zoning. So if we're concerned about things that are outside of the H zoning, why aren't we just doing something more comprehensive on that? as opposed to targeting those that live in those houses, renovate those houses, and keep those houses up. It seems to me that we need something wider than this, and I would suggest that that be worked on as opposed to just compartmentalizing things into just small categories.
Mr. M and then Mr. Carter. Mr. Carter, I'm going to let Mr. M answer that question first, okay?
We are, Janet. That's actually an ordinance that was introduced tonight, so you probably won't be seeing it for a few months, but it will be working its way through PLUS and planning and back to Land Use Committee. So that's a much more comprehensive ordinance that does have some elements in it protecting historic properties of all types in various ways. So we are working on that. This particular specific ordinance came out of a land use presentation last fall, I think it was, on their annual inspection program, when it was realized that for some reason in 2019, I think only 4 or 5 H-zone properties were inspected. And as I said before, it's not necessarily the current owners that you're targeting, it's future owners. So the program is still relatively young, but as time goes on, we do need to keep a watchful eye on, make sure that that watchful eye is on all of these properties.
Mr. Carter.
Yeah, I mean, we did look at what we need to do, particularly in record plans with some of these. We're still struggling with that ordinance. But I do think it's very compelling that we have a public body, a public committee who served their time, who unanimously voted in favor of this. I think, you know, sometimes those fresh ideas need to come in to all of our departments. We had a long discussion today about the need for citizen input and oversight of policing to help us see new ideas and see things in a different way. I believe that the board acted very competently and very thoughtfully in their unanimous endorsement of this. I think it's a good idea to avoid problems down the future. I wish that policing, we had thought about an oversight and put it in place 30 years ago and never had a problem. And I think it's good. So anyway, I think that should be given as much weight as just deferring to everything from land use. Sometimes fresh ideas are very helpful and can improve the way we do business.
Thank you, Ms. Kilpatrick.
No, I was just going to say I would prefer to wait for something comprehensive rather than piecemeal.
Yes, I think at this point I'm going to support Ms. Durham in these efforts and the board. If they're putting the time and effort and they're voting unanimously to support this, they've been thoughtful about this. And if it's not working out, if it becomes burdensome for the land use department and code enforcement, that we make the effort to rescind it. And Ms. Durham, I hope you would join me in that if it does become burdensome to the Department of Land Use and code enforcement, if this does pass.
Absolutely.
Thank you. Are there any other comments? Mr. Bell.
Thank you, Madam President. I too am struggling with this. I believe that Councilman Cartier hit the nail on the head. In the presentation by land use, they had presented that 80 historic zone properties were inspected and had only shown 5 had violations. 3 were government owned, 1 were corporate, 1 was private. So I think from the standpoint of our manager of land use and our land use code, they're saying that the system in place currently works. I have to agree with Councilwoman Kilpatrick that maybe something a little bit more comprehensive in the future, but I've got to respect the position and opinion of our land use department. They are our land use and code professionals, so it's a tough one.
Yes, it is, and perhaps they will decide to speak in public comment. So are there any more comments from members of council? If not, I open up the floor to the public for comment.
Madam President, there's public comment from Mr. Henry Miller. Mr. Miller, your microphone's open. Just unmute yourself. Go ahead and speak.
Hello, my name's Henry Miller. I've been listening to this discussion. My property that I've been talking to you about a year is a historic property of 4185 Kirkwood St. George's Road. You can have all the ordinances you want. If we do not have equal enforcement of any ordinances, what good are they? I mean, you have land use professionals. I believe they've been told to back off of the problem that I'm having up at 4185 Kirkwood St. George's Road, probably by the executive. Who's to say that that's not going to go on here? Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Miller. Is there anyone else in the queue, Ms. Finnegan, that wishes to speak?
Madam President, there's no further comment. Rich Hall has public comment.
Mr. Hall,
your microphone's unmuted.
Good evening, everyone. This is Rich Hall, General Manager of Land Use. On the previous comment from, I believe it was Mr. Miller, obviously that's a different issue, and that's something we would be glad and happy to talk to the Council or Land Use Committee some other time. I think we've talked about that issue quite a bit, and that is not what we're talking about tonight with this draft ordinance. I think I gave pretty comprehensive presentation response to this draft ordinance at the Land Use Committee last week. We don't enjoy opposing a council person's ordinance, especially when I think it was well intended for sure. But, you know, in a nutshell, and I'll be very brief, because I know it's a long night here. We just don't see the need for this ordinance. We already do the inspections. These properties are not a problem. And what we're talking about is doing more inspections for properties that are not a problem. Currently, as the law is written from Councilman Cartier's ordinance from 2016, you know, we have a system that works. Can we do more and work with council to make sure reporting does more completely and that kind of thing? Sure, we'll do that. I've committed to Councilwoman Durham to do that. And we can work hard to try to, you know, make our cycle of the inspections we're doing more frequent. We can certainly do that. So I just don't think we need to pass an ordinance to take away the limited discretion we already have on this. I guess my question to council is, what problem are we trying to solve? As you all know, a comprehensive historic preservation ordinance was introduced tonight. It took a long time for us to work to get together. We look forward to working with council on that. And that draft ordinance that got introduced tonight touches on three different codes within county government, the UDC, the building code, and the property maintenance code. And so it's complex. There'll certainly be amendments to it as it goes along. And there's something specific from this particular conversation we're having tonight that needs to be addressed through ordinance. I would recommend we do it there. But again, is it the end of the world if you all pass this ordinance tonight? No. But I would just submit to you that I don't think it's necessary. If there's some specific things council wants out of this, we'll do that. We just think it's necessary to pass this ordinance for a problem that does not exist.
Thank you. Is there anyone else in the queue that wishes to speak, Ms. Finnegan?
Madam President, there's no further public comment.
Thank you. I'll close the floor to the public. Madam Clerk, please call the roll on 020063.
Mr. Bell?
No.
Mr. Carter?
Yes.
Mr. Cartier?
Present.
Ms. Diller?
No.
Ms. Durham?
Yes.
Ms. Hartley Nagel?
Yes.
Mr. Hollins?
Yes.
Ms. Kilpatrick?
No.
Mr. Sheldon?
No.
Mr. Smiley?
No.
Mr. Street?
Yes.
Mr. Tackett?
Present.
Mr. Woods?
Yes.
Madam President, the roll reveals 6 yes, 5 no, 2 present.
Okay, 020063 passes.
No, it didn't.
No, we used by one. Sorry about that. It fails. Sorry, Mr. M. It was close. Next, we move on to 020064. And that is Mr. Smiley, Mr. Cartier, this one.
Cartier.
Thank you, Madam President. I'd like ordinance number 20-064. Read by title only and placed before council for its consideration.
Second.
Ordinance 20064 to amend Newcastle County Code Article 5, Departments and Offices, to create a new exception to the purchasing of supplies and services related to the COVID-19 public health emergency.
And Mr. Cartier?
Four amendments. We have a four amendment for this.
So you'll be making a motion for a floor amendment?
Madam President, Councilman Hollins has his hand up.
Yeah, Mr. Hollins?
Thank you, Madam President. I would like to offer a motion to amend Ordinance 20-064. I ask council members to scroll down on the ordinance to the now therefore clause. And under Section 2.502, purchases of supplies and contractor services, and you drop down to F. You drop down to F, the very last sentence, I move that we strike the words within 5 business days of the waiver, and we insert the words 2 business days in advance of the waiver.
Second. In favor?
You're gonna... Let me just add, in writing this, 2 is spelled out and it's also numerical in parentheses.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
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 Any opposed? The motion is passed. And we go to 020064 as amended by floor amendment number 1.
Madam President.
And that is Mr. Cartier.
Thank you. Yes, this ordinance, and I'm reading from the synopsis, this ordinance, if approved, shall permit the Chief of Technology and Administrative Services to waive the requirements for purchasing of supplies and contractual services for purchase or expenditures or related to the COVID-19 public health emergency. The new exemption proposed by this ordinance provides this notice that is similar to and consistent with the notice requirement under the code for the non-COVID-19 related emergency expenditures. And this has got an improved notification requirement with the floor amendment that was just inserted into Section F of the Section 2.05.502. And again, this is related to CARES Act funds, solely CARES Act funds, not the normal operating budget or funding for operating budget or capital, simply for the CARES Act funds to meet the public health emergency caused by COVID-19.
Thank you. Does anyone from council have any questions or comments? Mr. Smiley.
Councilman Cartier, you have to have it read in by title only as amended by floor amendment number 1.
Okay. I'd like to have ordinance number 20-064 as amended by floor amendment number 1 to be read by title only and placed before council for its consideration. Thank you, Councilman Smiley.
Second.
Ordinance 20064 as amended by floor amendment number 1 to amend Newcastle County Code Article 5 Departments and Offices to create a new exception to purchasing of supplies and services related to the COVID-19 public health emergency.
Thank you. Mr. Cartier, any further comment?
No further comments, Madam President, except that we are given this CARES Act funding to go fight this pandemic and the cost and the detrimental impacts, and this will help us do that by giving us a streamlined process to allow for purchasing supplies and services related to that funding from the federal government.
Any other comments from members of council? And Mr. Street.
The will of council to be the will of council. But I'm sitting here laughing to myself, well, this is for COVID expenditures only. Well, we got more COVID money than we have our own money. But at the end of the day, I'm not going to fight with y'all about it because I know I'm not going to win. But all it is a lockout ordinance. This one locks people out. The next one locks people out. And I can't in good conscience support it.
Thank you. Are there any other comments from members of council? Seeing none, I'll open up the floor to the public for comment. Ms. Finnegan, is there any members of the public in the queue?
Madam President, there's no public comment.
Thank you. I'll close the floor to the public. Madam Clerk, please call the roll on 020064 as amended by floor amendment number 1.
Mr. Bell?
Yes.
Mr. Carter?
Yes.
Mr. Cartier?
Yes.
Ms. Diller?
Yes.
Ms. Durham?
Yes.
Ms. Hartley-Nagel?
Yes.
Mr. Hollins?
Yes.
Ms. Kilpatrick?
Yes.
Mr. Sheldon?
Yes.
Mr. Smiley?
Yes.
Mr. Street?
Yes.
Mr. Tackett?
Yes.
Mr. Woods?
Yes.
Madam President, the roll reveals 12 yes, 1 no.
020064, as amended by floor amendment number 1, is passed. We go on to 020065. Mr. Cartier, will you be taking this one also?
Yes. Yes, thank you, Madam President. I'd like ordinance number 20-065 be read by title only and placed before council for its consideration.
Second.
Ordinance 20065 to amend Newcastle County Code Chapter 2 Administration, Article 2 County Council, to create a new exception to the approval of contracts by County Council related to the COVID-19 public health emergency.
Thank you. Mr. Cartier?
Yes, Madam President, I would entertain another floor amendment similar to the previous. Councilman Hollins will floor manage that.
Mr. Hollins, floor amendment, please.
Thank you, Madam President. I move that ordinance number 20-065 be amended, similar to 064, pretty much the same location. If you were to go down to the now therefore clause and you go to section 202004 and scroll down to section F again, and the last sentence there ends with, council shall be notified within 5 business days of the contract award. I make a motion to strike within 5 business days of the contract award and insert the words 2 business days in advance of the contract award. Again, 2 is spelled out. And it's also numerical in parentheses.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? Floor amendment number 1 to 020065 is passed. We move on to now.
No.
020065 as amended
yes.
by?
Yes.
Floor amendment number 1.
Yes, Madam President, I'd like ordinance number 20-065 as amended by floor amendment number one to be read by title and placed before council for its consideration.
Second.
Ordinance 200655 as amended by floor amendment number one. To amend Newcastle County Code Chapter 2 Administration, Article 2 County Council to create a new exception to the approval of contracts by County Council related to the COVID-19 public health emergency.
Mr. Cartier?
This was extensively discussed in our Finance Committee, and this ordinance is related to exceptions for the approval of contracts by County Council related to COVID-19 public health emergency. And again, you know, we were granted these funds by the federal government to fight the COVID pandemic in our locality. And this will enable us to do it because it will give us a streamlined process, which will get the money quicker to the communities and recipients that need these funds.
Thank you. Is there any comment from members of council? Mr. Street?
I just think, in all fairness, we need to be completely forthcoming and entitle this lockout ordinance number two.
Thank you. Are there any other comments from members of council? Seeing none, I happen to believe this was a fair compromise, so I'm going to support this one. If there's no other comments, then I'll open up the floor to the public for comment. Ms. Finnegan, are there any members that wish to speak of the public?
Madam President, there's no public comment.
Thank you. I'll close the floor to the public. Madam Clerk, please call the roll on 020065 as amended by floor amendment number one.
Mr. Bell?
Yes.
Mr. Carter?
Yes.
Mr. Cartier?
Yes.
Ms. Diller?
Yes.
Durham?
Yes.
Ms. Hartley-Nagel?
Yes.
Mr. Hollins?
Yes.
Ms. Kilpatrick?
Yes.
Mr. Sheldon?
Yes.
Mr. Smiley?
Yes.
Mr. Street?
No.
Mr. Tackett?
Yes.
Mr. Woods?
Yes.
Madam President, the roll reveals 12 yes, 1 no.
Thank you. 020065, as amended by floor amendment number one, is passed. We move on to 020012. Mr. Bell.
You're muted, Bill.
You're muted.
We'll try this again. Madam President, I move that ordinance 20-012 be read by title only and placed before council for its consideration and adoption.
Second.
Ordinance 20012 revised previously approved preliminary major land development plan with rezoning for Bayberry Town Center, St. George's 100, northeast corner of the intersection of Jamison Corner Road and Boyd's Corner Road, tax parcel number 13013.00243.
Mr. Bell?
Thank you, Madam President. I'd like to ask at this time that counsel for the developer, Sean Tucker, be permitted to speak for a few minutes on this particular project, and then I'll have a detailed comment.
Thank you. Mr. Tucker? You're still muted.
There he is.
There we go.
Good evening, members of council. I will stick to Councilman Bell's few minutes that he asked for. Certainly, I'm happy, as is my client, to answer any questions anyone has this evening. As you know, we did present a pretty lengthy PowerPoint presentation at the Land Use Committee meeting last week and had submitted about an 11-page zoning analysis for your consideration as well. Briefly, the project before you proposes 277,915 square feet of development with 145 townhomes. There's approximately 186,000 square feet of retail proposed, 31,000 square feet of office, 61,000 square foot fitness center proposed, as well. That is an approximate 300,000 square foot reduction from the original amount of square footage that was approved over a decade ago. This adjustment in the plan has been done to address market changes, as well as significant development in Middletown over the past decade of approximately 500,000 square feet. For the legal analysis, first and foremost, we always look to our comprehensive development plan. In fact, that is the first legal factor and the predominant legal factor in the UDC. And the question is always, is what we are proposing consistent with the comprehensive development plan as Article 31 of the UDC directs? In this instance, the comprehensive development plan specifically earmarks this property for office slash commercial class slash industrial uses, which means that all three of those uses are consistent with the comprehensive development plan. The comprehensive development plan also generally recommends mixed-use projects. So we are, based on the comprehensive plan, consistent with it, with this mixed-use proposal before you this evening, which is predominantly commercial with some office and some residential making up the entire mixed-use plan. We also noted, and I will note briefly, we are reducing the traffic by about overall maybe 25% when you add up the AM, PM, and weekend trips that would have been generated by the prior plan, and that's a function of the significant shedding of the square footage that was on the original plan. And like with all projects, Mr. Sinetcha forms a working group. We do have a working group of about a dozen people. I suspect you'll hear from a few of them this evening. But as you heard at land use, the working group did support the project. I'm happy to report the Department of Land Use has recommended in favor, as has the planning board. So that's just a quick thumbnail sketch of our application and the predominant legal standard that we are directed to follow. And we are happy to answer any questions, again, that any of you may have or members of the public may have this evening. Thank you very much.
Thank you. Are there any members of council that have a comment or question? Mr. Carter.
Yeah, Sean, I appreciate your contacting me afterwards and discussing the data that I requested to do what I thought was a better evaluation of this area. I was hoping to hear that you would present some of that data and give me a better feel for where you are. I understand your client was not willing to share any of that market data. I put it in the context of my long history with the site. As you may or may not know, you may have been still a general manager of land use at the time. We had big concerns about creating when they wanted a high school up there and working what that would do in terms of splitting to have a poor school and a rich school south of the canal in that division. You know, my concerns for this market and why I wanted that data, because I'm deeply concerned less about whether you can make this work here, but what the regional impact is. And that impacts my comp plan, because the areas that I'm worried about this investment in are the Lake Street Shopping Center, the Middletown Shopping Center, the Middletown Square, Ashley Plaza, not the new growth in Southern Newcastle County. And I'm concerned about those areas. We're investing money for Habitat for Humanity. We're putting $24 million into a library in that area. And my fear is if we don't have good data and we're not doing this well, or we don't anticipate the impacts as we do more of this development, that's where we'll get this investment and where we will see the first vacancies occurring in our commercial space south of the canal. And that's in the area and surrounding the community that doesn't have reliable transportation all the time is what I'm really concerned with. So I just wanted to share that. I don't believe we can do a really good evaluation of this without that data. I understand that your client feels it's not public and it's proprietary, but that really limits my ability to evaluate this and its impact. And I'd be honest with you, when we reevaluate for zoning, I don't think we've done a good enough job. I raised this on December 16th in a 20-page letter on the Southern Newcastle County Master Plan. I haven't gotten any written comments or clarification back from our land use office. I think this is premature without having that look done. So I'm just being as open and honest. I do appreciate your efforts to try and work with your client to help me get some of that information. But without that information, I just don't feel we've done our due diligence.
Councilman Carter. Yes.
One moment, that we had a comment from Mr. Hollins and then Mr. Bell.
Thank you, Madam President. I really think that this is a great opportunity. I think it's, in my opinion, it's a good thing that the owners of the site, developers of the site, are able to adapt to the market change. Oftentimes, you don't get that opportunity. But more importantly, I think that it provides the amenities to the residents who are living there that otherwise they would have to drive for miles. And it's one thing we're trying not to have going forward is that folk who are driving to get to a laundromat or a supermarket or whatever amenities they may need. And my concern is if we don't make this site marketable, what about the investment in the folk who have found this place to be desirable to live? So I think adding to amenities to residential areas goes along with mixed use and the type of amenities that people desire to have. So I have the greatest admiration for Councilman Carter, obviously, but I think with what I'm seeing here and what I've heard from the last time around, I really think this is an improvement of an application that we received a number of years ago. And to not take advantage of the market change or not to be able to be flexible enough and then have a, as large as this facility is, that somehow, you know, it may not succeed. I just think it would be a mistake not to have this parcel to succeed and not to give the residents there who've invested there the amenities that they definitely need and they definitely want and I think they deserve.
Mr. Bell?
Thank you, Madam President. I clearly understand, you know, when you want to look at data, but when I think of who my clients are, my clients are the citizens of New Castle County. And very clearly, I have heard loud and clear for several years now in the central core of Southern New Castle County that while we have continued to develop development with workforce housing components, with senior type living, that the infrastructure to support this new development is simply not close enough to the development. You know, this is something that we've talked about for a number of years. Whether you look at a service station to get gas on the way to work, and you have to drive south to go to Odessa or drive over to Middletown or wait if you have enough fuel in your vehicle to get up to Tybout's Corner. You know, what I've heard loud and clear is that the folks in the area, in the central core, and not only in Bayberry, but the surrounding area, are looking for these amenities, are looking for infrastructure, and they feel that it's long overdue. When you look at Bayberry itself, and I said this at the first working group meeting, and I'll make comment about the working group in a minute, but I said in the meeting that each and every one of the residents of Bayberry North, Bayberry South, the Ponds, they should be extremely proud of their development and of their developer. And I'd be remiss if I didn't say that this is, and I said it the other day in land use, this is a model community, a growing area, but a model community and a model area. You know, we have some real nightmares when it comes to development in New Castle County where developers don't complete the projects, where the developers walk away from projects, where the amenities are not put in, not in the beginning, and sometimes not even in the end. Lawsuits have to prevail and back and forth, and This is not what folks look for when they buy into a community. They were aware that eventually they would have the town center, but we're talking about half of the open space at Bayberry North and South is committed to preservation, is committed to parks, to playgrounds, to miles of walking trails, to clubhouse, lakeside picnic pavilion and a lake house, fishing. The very nature of the landscaping, the entrances, and I'd mention all this because I think that when you look at this community and you look at the area as a model for development, both today and in the future, is that they have those amenities already in place. One of the most significant things they're lacking right now is the infrastructure of grocery, of some retail, restaurant, and they desperately need this in the central core, and this was what the plan was eventually to occur. As Sean mentioned, we had a working group of about a dozen or more residents from the area, from in specific in Bayberry. They attended the meetings. They reviewed over the proposed plans. They gave their input. They had questions. They expressed some concerns. And at the end of the day, this working group, who did an outstanding job, is in full support of the revised plan for the town center. It enjoys a positive recommendation of our land use department. It enjoys a positive recommendation of our planning department. And I can't tell you the total number, but I can tell you that an overwhelming majority of the residents that live in the area and live in Bayberry, North and South, the Ponds, have personally contacted me and asked as their councilman to support and ask council to support this future revised plan so that they can enjoy the infrastructure and shopping and amenities that other areas of Newcastle County and Southern Newcastle County enjoy. So that's where I'm coming from. I think it's a good plan overall. I think it meets today's needs. And, you know, 10 years ago, okay, we had the market dropped out, building came to a screeching halt. And we had testimony from subject matter experts the other day that deal with commercial development in the Middletown area, in the entire Southern Newcastle County area and throughout the state. That gave testimony that this will not detract from Westtown or some of the other shops, but it is very well needed as far as infrastructure in the area. I submit to you that we have a lot of nice developments along some of the rural roads to the east of the central core. And once again, we have a lot of folks that literally have to drive miles to get to some of the infrastructure that they need, the very infrastructure they need for their quality of life. I ask for council's consideration and support.
Thank you, Mr. Bell. And we move on to Mr. Tucker.
I see Councilman Smiley has his hand, President. Oh, I guess.
Smiley. Mr. Smiley.
No problem. Just briefly, I'm going to follow the same thing I've done since I got on council. I have one very, very major litmus test, whether it's my district or someone else's, and that is, has the developer met the legal requirements under code to move their plan forward? And if they've met the legal requirements under code to move it forward, then I feel that it's my legal obligation to support that plan. And I sit here from someone who did it and went through a year of hell from the predictions that people made based on the data that the other people provided them. And now some 5 years later, their predictions still haven't come true. But if it meets the legal code under requirement, just like any other property owner, they have a right to do it. So I'll be supporting it. Thank you.
Thank you. Mr. Tucker?
Yes, thank you, President. Just a couple of additional comments. Certainly, I respect the questions of all council members and the right to ask them as council members, as does my client, Blenheim Holmes. And I certainly understand the logic, Councilman Carter, behind your question, which is, well, how do we know this one's going to be successful? What's your data? The market analysis that is done is expensive. We also have two consultants who testified at last week's meeting to talk a little bit about their analysis at the planning level and what traditional development works in the area and what traditional development has not worked in the area. But the actual market analysis is considered proprietary. And again, I certainly respect everyone's right on this call to ask for any document they want, but it's proprietary because of its value. It's proprietary because other competitors could then FOIA that information once it's provided to any of you, and would have a jump start on their own analysis, or perhaps would not need to do an analysis for their own knowledge and information for how they would approach tenants. So for those reasons, it is proprietary, and my client, you know, as I previously had indicated to you, Councilman Carter, respectfully was not comfortable turning that over. It is the first time I've been asked to do that. And again, there's nothing wrong with it. I certainly understand the logic, but it is something that I've never been asked, as far as I can recall, to do in the 20 years that we've done this. And the reason I think that's probably been the case, and there's certainly, you know, any council member can introduce an ordinance and change the law if they want, certainly. But I think the reason that's been the case is my role as zoning council and my client's role as a developer is to look to the comprehensive plan for guidance. And the professional planners, of course, put that together with consultants, and then that's approved by council. And the zoning designation in the future land use map for the comp plan is for this type of development. In fact, if the rezoning tonight was rejected and it reverted back to S zoning, and I think some old NC zoning, that would actually be inconsistent with the comprehensive plan that by law we're required to be consistent with. So we start with the comprehensive plan and we follow that. We at least in my experience, have never got into, well, whose market study says what, even though that is a logical thing to ask for again. But then you get into a battle of the market studies and the experts and different competitors potentially who would hire different experts to dispute other people's market studies. That would open a Pandora's box in my professional opinion as a zoning attorney. But again, if that was the law and that was required, we'd certainly provide that. So I just wanted to say that my client said, you know, politely, no, I'm not comfortable providing that, but for good reasons. In my opinion, both proprietary and based on the code. So I just wanted to offer those additional comments. I always strive my best, as do my clients, to provide any information council wants, but this would have been a first of its kind, and I respectfully submit to Councilman Carter and others that it's very reasonable that my client would not want to share that information publicly and make it FOIA-able. Lastly, I will point out that my experience, particularly with a client like Mr. Sinecha, they do not spend hundreds of thousands of dollars advancing plans that they do not think are buildable. They just do not do that. That is not good economic sense. Mr. Sinecha had no idea this plan would remain unbuilt for 10 years. He could not have predicted what has happened in the economy over the past decade. It's been a tumultuous up and down economy. He could not have predicted 500,000 square feet being built in Middletown in the past 10 years. But he's now done what I would respectfully submit all responsible developers do and should do, which is hire professionals like the two you heard from on Tuesday, did analysis of the area and the adjustment in population and the absorption rate of Middletown, and provided a revised plan, a scaled back plan to deal with that growth. And I think, quite frankly, he should be applauded for that and respected for that. And I would ask all of you to consider that carefully in weighing your vote this evening. Thank you very much.
Thank you. Mr. Carter?
You're muted.
You're muted, Dave.
I both understand and respect your position and Jay's. I do believe that this has been a failure of our land use department. You know, when I did work in Southbridge, Wilmington, we had these concerns with the Riverfront Development Corporation. When working the east side, and we did through state government actually fund these type of market analysis to be able to do much better planning. I think I was looking at trying to work with you guys to get a surrogate to understand what's happening. I don't think very much, as you know, of our comprehensive plan. As you may or may not recall, I, many years ago, testified on Bayberry with deep concerns about whether this would work based on the data we had and also our concerns about the Scott Run Business Park. So I understand that you're dealing with a difficult issue here. It is better to be reduced, you know, but you probably are in line with the code. I don't want you to take that personally. I think we need to do a better job of understanding the regional impacts of these moving forward with our plan. So I know you're, I don't want to put you in a bad position. I actually feel we should do it. They had a little bit of that done with the, or tried to do that with the Southern Newcastle County Master Planning. I don't know whether that was very good. That hasn't been shared with me. I wrote very pointed comments to my land use department. You're stuck in the middle of it. You've convinced me on zoning to let this go and figure out how I respond after that. It just means I really am going to have to up my game on tracking our Southern Newcastle County Master Plan, because what we have and where that plan is going, I'm not at all comfortable with, because there are going to be unintended consequences if we're not careful. So thank you. Thank you for trying. I understand your situation. In the future, hopefully you'll consider, if there are parts of it you can share, I think that economic data will be very important south of the canal.
Thank you. Are there any other members of council that wish to speak? Seeing none, I'll open the floor to the public for comment. Ms. Finnegan, are there any members of the public in the queue that wish to speak?
Yes, we have several. First up is Jay Zanowski. Mr. Zanowski, I've just opened your microphone. Go ahead and unmute yourself and go ahead and speak.
Hi, thank you. Hi, my name is Jay Zankowski. I live on Audubon Trail within the community of Bayberry North in Middletown. I will mention that I'm a member of the Bayberry North Maintenance Corporation and have been a member of the working group meetings. That said, my comments here tonight are of my own personal opinion. I am here tonight to provide my full support for the Bayberry Town Center. This development will be an excellent source of shopping for local residents, provides new job opportunities, it's walkable, and most of all, it's convenient. As Councilman Bell pointed out, my fellow Bayberrians routinely voice their excitement for this to be built and their disappointment that it has not been built yet. Many of the residents of Bayberry chose to live here, at least in part, because this town center was planned to be built, including myself. I certainly won't speak for everyone in Bayberry, but in general, the majority of this community wants this development to move forward. Not only that, the designs that have been presented in the working group meetings are beautiful and will be an aesthetically pleasing addition to Boyd's Corner Road between the communities of Bayberry North and Bayberry South. I, for one, look forward to visiting Bayberry Town Center, and I fully support the application presented by the developer here tonight. Thank you for your time.
Thank you, sir. Is next there another up, member?
Okay. Yes, next up, Mr. Ron Payne. Mr. Payne, I just opened your microphone. Go ahead and unmute yourself.
Okay, I think I just unmuted.
Yep.
Okay, good evening, council members. Thank you for the opportunity to speak tonight. Appreciate the time. And with respect of the time, it's almost 9 o'clock. I'll make this short and sweet as possible as I can. Since I spoke last week at the council meeting, most of you already know that my wife, Kim, and I have lived in this area for just about 23 years. We've been at the Ponds of Bayberry for almost three, and we lived in Summit Farms for 20 years. So we've been in this area for a long time, and have been waiting for something like this. In fact, we moved to Bayberry South, or the Ponds of Bayberry, to be in a community like this with shops nearby and and places we could walk to or ride our bikes to, things like that. And, you know, we're looking forward to this. We have two of our three children live in Bayberry North and are also very supportive of this. They do a lot of walking. In fact, it's about a mile and a half from their house to ours, or our daughter's anyway. And we walk back and forth. So it's a great neighborhood, great community. I can understand some of the concern some people have. You know, you never really know about the market. It does change. But we have thousands of homes being built in this area. And, you know, they're all looking for something when they move here. They don't want to have, you know, if we jump on 301 to drive north or south, we have to get off and get gas almost as soon as we get on. There's no place to get gas here, so we're really looking forward to being able to have a gas station somewhere nearby, in addition to shops, restaurants, grocery store, things like that. So we're really happy about this. We're very supportive of it. Honestly, I don't know anybody that's not supportive of it. And everybody's done a great job. Kim and I have been on the working groups and have seen this all the way through. Actually, we were on working groups for 301 years ago, and we're very excited about that. So we've been part of the community for a long time and really look forward to the opportunity to be able to walk or ride our bikes somewhere and enjoy what our developer is looking forward to building. So thank you again for your time. Really appreciate it.
Thank you, Mr. Payne. Ms. Finnegan, is there another member of the public in the queue?
Yes. Next up, Mr. Christopher Carnelli. Mr. Carnelli, I've just opened your microphone. Go ahead and unmute yourself.
Good evening. Thank you, Council. I reside on Pythagoras Path. That is in Bayberry North. I've lived there for the past 6 years. Thank you all for your time, your consideration. I will be brief. Jay Ziankowski, who spoke earlier, Jay and I both sit on the Maintenance Corporation. We were also both on the working group, so I will just say ditto everything he said. With respect to a comment made by Mr. Payne just moments ago, I would echo that. I don't know how many of you come down here, aside from Councilman Bell and Carter, but if you're not familiar with the area, Bayberry North has 950 homes. Bayberry South has roughly 1,200 homes. Whitehall, which is well underway, is projected to have 2,500. Whispering Woods, 175. Boyd's Corner Farm is doing infrastructure construction now. That's 113 units. The point being, there's over 5,000 homes within a two-mile radius of this project. And we desperately need commerce in this area so we don't have to drive into town. I would also just point out again, I'm a little befuddled by some of the opposition to this, because this is a downsizing of a project that has already been approved. We need it, we want it, and I would ask you please to approve it. I will keep my comments short. Thank you so very much.
Thank you, sir. Ms. Finnegan?
Next up is Jean Campanelli. Ms. Campanelli, go ahead and unmute yourself. I've just opened your microphone.
Thank you very much. My name is Jean Campanelli, and I live at 2715 Van Cliburn Circle in the Ponds of Bayberry South. I am an active member of our community, working with the Welcoming Committee, Social Committee, and various other communities. I certainly appreciate you giving me the opportunity to express my support for the Bayberry Town Center. I am a lifelong resident of Delaware and spent over 35 years in the Newcastle area. When my husband and I began to consider moving to a 55-plus community, we were very excited about the homes at Bayberry. The amenities for that community were a large reason we chose Bayberry: the clubhouse, the pool, but especially the ability to walk to the proposed town center. Blenheim has provided us with everything they promised in our orientation, and they have continued to support us through the years. There is no doubt in my mind that they will build a center that will be an asset to this area and benefit many of the surrounding communities. As I stated, we lived in the Newcastle area. We lived in Penn Acres. As our daughters were growing up, we were able to walk to middle school, high school, walk to convenience stores, pizza parlors, Rita's for Italian water ice. We had two grocery stores and gas stations, within 1 mile of where we lived. Bayberry is currently without the ability to accomplish any of those things. Although it may not seem like a big inconvenience driving 20, 25 minutes to go buy a loaf of bread to get gas can be a very hard thing to have to go through. With the addition of this town center, we will hopefully have all and or some of these things available to us. This is what attracted me to the area and made the decision to make the move below the canal. Thank you again for your time, and I hope that you will find that this town center will be a huge improvement to this area and benefit all of the surrounding communities. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Ms. Campanelli.
And one more, Ms. Natalie Price. Mrs. Price, I just opened your microphone. Go ahead and unmute yourself.
Good evening, everyone. Madam Council, my name is Natalie Price, and I live at 506 Pythagoras Path. I have been a resident of Bayberry North for over 8 years. I am a sitting HOA board member since its inception, and I'm also a member of the Town Center Advisory Committee. I would like to thank you for the time to let me speak, but I would like to also ditto the remarks that my co-chair, co-HOH members have said, Chris Cannelli and Jay. The Town Center is something that we all look forward to, just as most residents here. This is one of the reasons, the main reasons I moved to Bayberry in the first place. And I know that everyone here is hoping and wishing for your approval. I am a native of Philadelphia and relocating here to Delaware with my family and the family feel that Bayberry North has provided to us, along with the intention that the town center will be built, was what drew me to this area from in the beginning. So my hopes is that you all please vote yes to this plan. This is something that we all want and need here within our area. Thank you for your time.
Thank you very much.
And there's one more, Mr. Keith Cavanaugh. Mr. Cavanaugh, go ahead and unmute your microphone.
Good evening. My name is Keith Cavanaugh. I live at 4924 Bergman Place with my wife, Cheryl. I've been a Newcastle County resident all my life. We moved to Bayberry 3 years ago. Since then, I've become an elected HOA director for the Bonds of Bayberry. I'm also a member of the working group made up of Bayberry residents. The group was formed last year at a number of meetings and interacted with the developer, who took our suggestions and implemented them into his plan without hesitation. We here at the Ponds had over 70 residents who came out in support of the revised Bayberry Town Center plan at the hearings of the Planning Board and the Department of Land Use back in March. We had planned to attempt to fill the county council chambers tonight to show our support for the project once again. However, we all know the COVID-19 has not permitted that to happen. The proposed location of the town center is convenient, as Chris said. We're looking at a little 5,000 homes, but to at least 2,800 homes between Ponds of Bayberry South, Bayberry North, Winchelsea, and Whispering Woods by walking with or without strollers, bicycles, and vehicles. The first two being the most important. Both communities do a lot of walking and bike riding back and forth between the two. We see the young over here and us older folks are over there. Both communities have fantastic walking and open spaces. And we share back and forth. from my house. I live on the east side of the clubhouse, the east side of the town center proposed. I'm back in the back of the community, 1.4 approximate miles to where the town center will be. I can walk through the community very safely and cross at a controlled light, controlled signal across 896 and into the town center. I do not have to go across any superhighway. I'll call superhighway back in my day and some of yours, which is Route 13. Of course, Route 1 is now the superhighway. I cannot get to Huber Crossing, which is being constructed now, by bicycle or walking safely. I would like to just let you know that our plans to fill the council center would make an impression on you folks tonight, I'm sure. That cannot happen. So at this time, I would like to thank you very much and ask for your support for the town center. You've heard a lot of other people talk over the last several months and last week and this week, and I plan not to duplicate that, but just please take everything into consideration. And on behalf of the residents of the Ponds of Bayberry South, please vote on our behalf and support this project. Thank you very much for your time.
Thank you, Mr. Cavanaugh. Are there any other members of the public, Ms. Finnegan?
Yes, Gabriel Stefani. I just opened your microphone. Go ahead and speak.
Thank you, Madam President and Council Members, for allowing me to speak on behalf of the Bayberry Town Center. My name is Gabriel Stefani. I live at 613 Vivaldi Drive in the Ponds at Bayberry South. I'm a member of the working group, and I'm a board member of I'm a member of the board of directors of Bayberry South. I'm totally in favor of the proposed town center for all reasons Ron already mentioned. I had a whole planned speech, but I realize it's getting late, so I'm going to skip along. I'm a retired architect, and I have worked on similar projects to this town center in New York, New Jersey, and Connecticut. The plan that Bayberry put together is perfect for our residential community. As a board member, I know most of the residents of Bayberry, and I believe every one of them is totally in favor of this town center. You have already heard from a lot of them at previous meetings. We need this town center, notwithstanding Councilman Carter's comments about needing more support. As an experienced architect, I totally believe it will succeed. This is needed now. My wife and I shop at Giant. To get there, we take Route 1 and we pay a toll both ways. Of course, we could take back roads, but that will only prolong our trip. The center is not like the shopping places around Lowe's and Home Depot. It's designed specifically for our residential community. We can't wait to shop and eat nearby. As part of the working group, I also want to mention that Blenheim's design team did an excellent job in working with us and listening to us and the surrounding community to create a town center that provides the perfect blend of needed residential and commercial to support our residential community. The plan they created with central green area, walking paths, and well-landscaped buffers will be an asset to all of us and finally allow us to have the much needed amenities close by. I fully support this application and look forward to its completion. Thank you for allowing me to speak. God bless and stay safe.
Thank you, sir. Ms. Finnegan, are there any other members of the public that wish to speak?
Madam President, there's no further public comment.
Thank you. And with that, I'll close the floor to the public. Madam Clerk, please call the roll on 020012.
President, Council Migliori has his hand up.
Didn't see you, Mike.
Thank you.
Mr. Migliori?
Yes, thank you. It's been a long day. I just want to take a moment to remind everyone this is a poll vote.
So the poll vote, yes. Mm-hmm.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Mr. Bell?
I am voting yes, based upon the positive recommendation of our land use department, of our planning board, of our community work group of Bayberry, and also on behalf of the residents of Bayberry that have personally contacted my office.
Mr. Carter?
I vote yes, because I believe it meets the minimum requirements of our code.
Mr. Cartier?
I will be voting yes in support of the positive recommendation from the Department of Land Use, and based on the community buy-in and participation in the working group.
Ms. Diller?
I'm voting yes based on the positive recommendation of land use and also because of the positive community engagement with the plan.
Ms. Durham?
I am voting present. I appreciate the residents' desire for the commercial district, which they were promised a decade ago. But to me, the plan does not honor the code's intent for integrated mixed use.
Ms. Hartley-Nagel?
Based upon the positive recommendation of the Planning Board and the Land Use Department and the overwhelming support of our constituents that live there, I am voting yes.
Mr. Hollins?
I'm voting yes in support of the recommendations from the Planning Department.
Ms. Kilpatrick?
I'm voting yes based on the recommendation from the Land Use Department and the community involvement.
Mr. Sheldon?
Yes, I am voting yes based upon the positive recommendation from the Department of Land Use, and because it seems like all the constituents of the 12th District want it, and that's the way we should vote, the way the constituents want.
Mr. Smiley?
I am voting yes in support of the land use recommendation.
Mr. Street?
Voting yes, consistent with the recommendations of the department and the planning board and the desires of the community residents that have come forward.
Mr. Tackett?
I am voting yes and joining the Department of Land Use in their positive recommendation.
Mr. Woods?
I will also be voting yes in favor of this project on the recommendations of the Planning Board and Land Use. The area residents made a very compelling argument. Thank you.
Madam President, the roll reveals 12 yes, one present.
Thank you. 020012 is passed. Next. Does anyone from the public wish to address the council? Ms. Finnegan, is there anyone in the queue?
Yes. Mr. Henry Miller. Mr. Miller, your microphone's open. Just unmute yourself.
Hello. Tonight I heard about ordinances and following ordinances and laws, codes, here at 4185 St. George's Road, Kirkwood St. George's Road. I've been at this for a year. We're not following the codes. We're not using the laws. This seems to be to me that we're not applying our rules equitably among everybody. This leads to distrust. Distrust in government leads to discontent. And that seems to be what may be going on around the whole world. I listened all day long. I mean, if we want to stop these things, we have to nip these things when they're small. We don't need to let them get big. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Miller. Ms. Finnegan, is there any other members of the public in the queue?
Yes, Mr. Keith Cavanaugh. Mr. Cavanaugh, just unmute your microphone. Just unmute it on your end and join us.
Madam President, members of council.
You can get up here and speak.
I'd just like to express my gratitude and thank you all for a positive vote in supporting this town center. It's well needed. Thank you very much.
Thank you, sir. Ms. Finnegan, are there any other members of the public that are in the queue?
No other public comment.
Motion to adjourn.
Second.
Is there a motion to adjourn?
You got it.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? This meeting is adjourned.
Already?
Thank you.